Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. I'm the host, Ed Holliday. And wow, is it heating up where you are? We're in the middle of July. And wow, it's hot when you're talking about politics. Hot on the Trump family as far as the mainstream media. But I have to tell you, if you haven't been listening to Sean Hannity and some on Fox News, who were there picking up some bad dirt that went on with the Clinton campaign with actual collusion. Now, like we said, is that a crime to talk with someone from another country? Well, where it becomes a crime if money is given or money changes hands, and we don't know anything that's happened there, but we do know about some collusion between Ukrainian officials and operatives from the Democratic National Committee. And Sean Hannity is going to tell us about that in a minute. And then what we're trying to do is see the corruption of the Clinton machine that was built during the 90s, and Hillary Clinton, with a worldwide organization called the Clinton Foundation, pulling in hundreds of millions of dollars, keeping their best buddies and people they want to use that they have used and keep well paid through the Clinton Foundation. Well, that's, where did it come from? We're going back to one person that we interviewed back just before the election. He has a book called The Arkansas Project. His name is Dave Henderson. And his life was destroyed by the Clinton machine. He was exonerated, but they drug him through the mud for 2 years. So he understands what the Clinton machine can do. So we're going to go to him in just a few minutes, talk about how he knows the Clinton machine and what he thinks they're up to today. And so, interesting conversation coming up on the second half of the show. What we're going to do in a minute is play what Sean Hannity was talking about. Where is the mainstream media talking about collusion that we know happened between the Democratic National Committee and the Ukrainian officials who want to throw dirt at Paul Manafort, who was the campaign chair of Donald Trump's campaign during the convention, helped get the convention together, and then he had to step down because of all these reports from and newspapers stories coming out about his relationship with officials in the Ukraine. But why did all those stories come out? Interesting twist. So we're going to play that little bit from Sean Hannity in a minute. This is a great show, folks. Hang on to your seats, because between Dave Henderson with an exclusive interview right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics and a little enlightenment from Sean Hannity. But before we get to that, I want to play something. Going back to last week's show, talking about the Warsaw speech that President Trump gave, I want you to hear it just summed up really how my heart feels. Lou Dobbs on Fox Business News, he talked about what it meant for him. So let's play this from Lou Dobbs, and then we're going to get into today's show and story about the Clinton collusion with Ukraine and the Clinton machine that takes down and destroys people. So hang on to your hats, folks. But first, take a listen to Lou Dobbs here.
On President Trump rolling back the madness of Barack Obama and the left, At the same point in Mr. Obama's presidency, he was jet-setting around the globe on his infamous apology tour, apologizing to France and to Europe, claiming the United States had been arrogant in our foreign policy. Trump, he's been more productively engaged, while Obama was apologizing to the Muslim world, stating it was his responsibility as president. This is actually what a president of the United States said: to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam. That was President Obama's big number one priority. Well, 4 years later, Obama's red line failure assured the now current crisis and worsening crisis in Syria, that is worsening until President Trump and Vladimir Putin got together today. President Obama's inaction paved the way for Putin to take Crimea and to later invade eastern Ukraine. Thankfully, Mr. Obama is irrelevant today. It has a reassuring sound, doesn't it? Obama is irrelevant. Let's hope so. His failed legacy is being methodically dismantled by President Trump while he leads the free world. Mr. Trump is replacing Obama's policy of appeasement and passivity with a doctrine of American exceptionalism and a defense of Western values, of Western civilization itself. President Trump set the tone for today's meeting with Putin, calling on Russia to cease its destabilizing activities in Ukraine, to end its support for hostile governments in Syria and Iran. Today, President Trump comes away with a deal reaching a Syria ceasefire agreement. A Wall Street Journal op-ed defined Mr. Trump's governing philosophy this way, quote, Mr. Trump is taking a clear stand against the kind of gauzy globalism and vague multiculturalism represented by the worldview of, say, Barack Obama, and most contemporary Western intellectuals who are willing, even eager, to concede the argument to critics of the West traditions. President Trump certainly is not among them. Trump emerged from this summit as the true leader of the free world. He's now lifting two continents at once, ours and Europe's, and putting Putin, Merkel, Macron, and the rest of the G20 in their place. And oh yes, in so doing, he has put Mr. Obama in his place as well.
Well said, Lou Dobbs, and I'm glad my audience here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics got to hear that insight and input from Lou Dobbs. And I'm glad that there's somebody in the media standing up for Donald Trump and the good that he's doing. And go back and if you didn't hear last week's show about the Warsaw speech, that we gave clips and talked about that, how it made me feel proud to be an American again and have somebody stand up and be the leader of the free world. So if you didn't hear last week's show, go back and listen to that. It's in the archives. Just flip back and hear that, because I just was actually amazed that President Trump, and he connected with people around the world and said, America is back. And Lou Dobbs just summed up again how I feel. So thank you, Lou Dobbs. And now let's get on to what we were talking about last week. All these stories about Russia and Trump Jr., what he wanted, and I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories when I say what the left is coming up with. And basically, I heard Lou Dobbs say this. I don't have the clip, but I'll sum it up. He was talking about it's nothing more than a coup d'etat. It's the left trying to overturn the rightful constitutional election of the president of the United States. We should not stand for it. We got to start putting people in their place, exposing them as being anti-constitution, anti-election. I can tell you, I started this show when I was a part of the Tea Party movement. I was so frustrated. But we didn't try to undermine the presidency of Barack Obama. I went against his policies. I never said anything against him personally, but his administration was reaping havoc, as far as I could see and concern. And that's why I wrote the books I've written, and you can see them there on my website, going back to the Tea Party days and bringing more liberty and more freedom when the Obamacare was passed against what the American people wanted. I mean, it was frustrating, but the only way we could make a difference was go to the ballot box and influence people to help make their decision to stand up for freedom and liberty. We did it in 2010 by stripping the House from the clutches of Nancy Pelosi and giving it back to the Republicans. And then that helped stop Ford what Congress could do. But Obama kept stripping away with all the powers he had, everything from EPA taking over farmers' mud puddles, any kind of water sitting anywhere. The EPA said we have control over it, and calling carbon dioxide detrimental to American health, which takes carbon dioxide for plants to live. Wow. But this is the thing that got me upset and got me doing a radio show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But we always said we had to win at the ballot box. The left is trying to destroy this presidency with the collusion they are having with the left-wing media. And so Lou Dobbs has helped point that out. And just remember that. And we're going to talk about the corrupt Clinton machine. And we're going to let Sean Hannity tell you a little bit about the corruption that we know of. And then on the second half of the show, we're going to go into a great interview with Dave Henderson. So get ready. Right now, listen to what Sean Hannity had to say about last week.
Colleague are out with a bombshell report about the Russian lawyer who met with Donald Trump Jr. last summer. Here's the headline, quote, exclusive, DOJ let Russian lawyer into the U.S. before she met with Trump team. Now, the report finds that the former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch allowed this Russian lawyer to enter the country under, quote, extraordinary circumstances and without a visa. And after a June 9th meeting with Donald Trump Jr., guess what? The lawyer was spotted in the front row of a June 14th hearing of America's policies towards Russia. The Hill is also reporting that this lawyer was part of a pro-Russian lobbying effort, went to an event in Washington. Remember the Magnitsky Act? That was the one attended by congressional staffers and State Department officials. Now, this new information is raising very serious questions. If this lawyer is so sinister and nefarious, and whether or not is connected to the Russian government, like the Democrats and the media have been trying to tell you, then why did the former Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, allow her into the country? Why did the Obama administration allow her into the country? Why was she allowed to attend a congressional hearing and other events with government officials in Washington, D.C.? Now, there's also another report that says this Russian lawyer has ties to the Democrats. So meeting with Donald Trump Jr. to try and hurt Hillary Clinton's campaign, it doesn't really make sense anymore. Which, by the way, the lawyer says she never had any damaging information on Clinton, and Solomon and his colleague are breaking yet another story, major news story tonight with the headline, quote, well, U.S. congressman got similar approach from Russian officials 2 months before Trump's son. Now, John will be here in just a minute with all the details. But first, our Hannity investigation into a massive election interference scandal that the Destroy Trump media is not reporting on and that Democrats don't want you to know about. They won't go near it. But we will continue to expose the truth until they have to cover this and tell you what's really going on. Now, back in January, the Politico published a stunning report. It had this headline. Here's the headline. Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. Kiev officials are scrambling to make amends with President-elect after quietly working to boost Clinton. Now, a one-time DNC operative, her name is Alexandra Chalupa. She led the effort along with Ukrainian government officials. Why? They wanted to help Hillary Clinton and try and damage Donald Trump during the 2016 election cycle. Now, according to Politico, Chalupa, who previously worked for the Clinton White House, was the key play in this plan and met with Ukrainian diplomats at the Ukrainian embassy to discuss ways to, quote, expose former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. And Chalupa told Politico that those Ukrainian diplomats were, quote, helpful when it came to finding leads for digging up dirt. And then there's this shocking quote for the article about Chalupa. She shared her findings with officials from the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign. So according to that report, Chalupa was working with Ukraine and also offering up information that she found to the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Sound like collusion? Well, it doesn't end there. Chalupa also said that she would assist, quote, a lot of journalists in writing stories about Manafort and the Trump campaign. Now, we reached out to Chalupa for comment on this explosive story. She hasn't gotten back to us, but there's...
Well, thank you, Sean Hannity, for helping explain the corruption that the left-wing media doesn't seem to care about or want to look at. I mean, the hypocrisy stinks to high heaven. And saying that, let me remind you, as we're talking about stinking, the Clinton machine, we're about to speak to Dave Henderson, who knows about it, because he was drugged through the mud. He was innocent, but they drug him through the mud back during the Whitewater days. And you remember when Bill Clinton was in trouble, and then Hillary Clinton comes out and calls this the great right, the fast right-wing conspiracy. Well, they were talking about Dave Henderson. They started drawing fire toward Dave Henderson and a few others to get everybody's cameras off Clinton's problems, Lewinsky, and all these things. And guess what? They drug him through the mud, ruined his career, and he was innocent of all things, found innocent by a grand jury. And he knows firsthand. We're about to talk to him about that. But let me just remind you right now, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And we're glad you're listening to us. Tell your friends and neighbors. We're growing because of you. And let me remind you, I got a book out, in our latest book. I got a chapter in a book called The Biblical Case for Israel. And you go to my website at www.docholliday.org. Holliday has two L's in it, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y. But you can also go on the front page of the Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics page right here on Web Talk Radio. You can click on a picture of my other book before that that I wrote with Dr. Alveda King and Dr. Alex McFarland, and called Bedrock Truths. You need to order that book, too. Get one for your friends and neighbors. Helps keep us on the air. We appreciate you, those who've ordered a book. Encourage others, too. Get one for your friends and neighbors. And let me remind you, Dave Henderson got a book, and we're going to ask him how you can get that book. And it's called The Arkansas Project, and we're so glad to have him back on. And he got that book out at right in the nick of time toward the before the election last fall. And I believe he, along with so many others, everybody working together, helped get Donald Trump to be the great political rock-splitting story of our lifetimes. That was a great election tonight. You remember the election night on November 8th, and we played some of the clips back for our July 4th show. So if you missed our July 4th special, go back and listen to that show. But I do want to have time here to speak with Dave Henderson. So here we go. Dave, what's the name of your book, and tell us how we can get your book.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. The name of the book is The Arkansas Project. And the subtitle is From the United States JCs to the United States Department of Justice and Whitewater. It is available on Amazon Books in either paperback or Kindle version.
Okay.
And I would welcome anyone to purchase it and read it. I think they might find it, well, I'm sure they'd find it interesting.
Well, I'll tell them, I found it a fascinating read. And for some of our younger listeners, they don't really know much about Whitewater. They need to know that for history. For our older listeners, or people that are above 30, I'd say, or 35, they should remember Whitewater. But this really goes into the details. And what amazes me is many of the players that were in that book are heavily high up in the Clinton organization even now. So it's a fascinating book.
They certainly are. Well, what do we write? As you and I mentioned in an earlier conversation, one of the advantages of being old is that you've covered a lot of miles and a lot of situations. And I will be having my 80th birthday in November.
Well, congratulations!
Thank you. And I've had a pretty full life, and I welcome the opportunity to talk about it. A lot of it is in my book. Some of it isn't. But I'll follow your lead, Doc, and we'll see what we come up with.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you coming on with us, and I want to tell our listeners what Dave is really just an encyclopedia of things were going on in Washington in the 70s, 80s, 90s. What Dave brings to the table right now, we are hearing all this about with Trump and the Russia connection, collusion. And nobody's looking at the Clinton connection, the Clinton collusions, if the Democratic Party collusions with other places and states, Ukraine, other things we're finding out, and this Russian attorney that supposedly talked, well, we know it did talk to Donald Trump Jr. Where does she come from? Why is she in the picture? And these are the things what I wanted Dave, not that he has inside knowledge of any of this now, but how does the Clinton machine work? And that's the one thing I want you to help bring to our listeners is the way there was a good, you know, you had a friend in David Brock, I believe. Am I right? Back in the 90s as a conservative?
I knew David Brock when he was supposedly a conservative.
Yeah, supposedly a conservative.
I'm not sure he ever was. But David was one of the writers for the American Spectator magazine, and I was a board member of the Spectator and had been a longtime supporter and friend of the magazine.
But what I'm bringing that up is he turned and basically, like you said, he was supposedly a conservative, but he got on the Clinton team, and he's still on the Clinton team, really high up in the circles now.
And that answers the question that you raised earlier. There's a how do they do this? And it is with money, enormous amounts of money.
And help us understand. I'll just throw this out, and you can tell me how it ties in. But we know that when you talk about Clinton and Russia, the uranium deal, where 20% of American uranium being controlled by Moscow now, or Russia, through a company, and Hillary Clinton had to sign off on that, and John Podesta, brother, and others gave millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation after they made hundreds of millions in this uranium deal that Hillary Clinton had to sign off on. So you're right, it takes millions of dollars to run the Clinton Foundation, and they help hire the people who are their friends. Do you have any insight to how that Clinton Foundation, where the Clinton machine keeps churning out?
Well, let me tell you what I do know from back in those days, in the early days, and then what I've observed in the later days. The Whitewater event, which I became entangled in because I'll tell the whole story here, but that was petty larceny compared that they, along with a couple of partners, had purchased some property up in northern Arkansas. And they had secured a loan from a Little Rock judge named David Hale, who had a government-backed bank lending company, and they kind of put the arm on him to loan them the money. They went to Susan McDougal and Jim McDougal, both deceased now, and to Bill and Hillary Clinton. And, of course, it cost the United States billions to have a investigation that was conducted by Ken Starr, who was the special counsel, or independent counsel. There was a special counsel before that. And lo and behold, the McDougals both went to prison. Jim died in prison. His wife never would turn and testify against the Clintons, so she was one of the favored ones when she got out of prison. David went to prison because he's the one that loaned them the money, but
David,
he had the goods on them.
You were talking about. He was the judge, right?
Yeah, he was the judge. Yes, I had gotten to know David. The reason from the United States JCs to the United States Department of Justice, as a subtitle on my book, I had been a staff officer of the United States KCs from 1970 to 73 at their national headquarters in Tulsa, Oklahoma. David had been a state president of the Arkansas JCs back during that period, and most of the state presidents would come to the national headquarters at one time or another during their presidency, and I got to know him at that time and liked him, and we stayed in touch over the years. And when I learned that he was a principal figure in the case, I went to Little Rock after arranging with him to meet with him and his lawyer. And I took my lawyer with me, and we began investigations for the American Spectator magazine. Ultimately, you know, Hillary was known to be a big fighter. She would bite you back in a big hurry, and she still does that. She's a brutal, vindictive person. The long and the short of it is, I was accused through the machinations of the Democrats in the House and with Hillary and some of her cohorts like Sidney Blumenthal and David Brock, with bribing Judge Hale. And as a consequence, I was under investigation for a year by the Whitewater investigation and compelled to go before the Whitewater grand jury in Fort Smith, Arkansas on two separate occasions. Of course, the grand jury rendered the results that there was no there, and the accusations had been false. And, of course, the damage had already been done. We had been discredited. Our names had been dragged through the mud for a couple of years. That pretty much sums it up. Now, it got a lot bigger after the second term when Bill Clinton was elected the second time, and particularly after he left the presidency and they started the Clinton Foundation, in which big money was involved.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, people need to, you know, it, we know, like you said, after the second term of Clinton, number one, we know, you know full well what the brunt of the Clinton machine can do because they drug you through the mud.
Absolutely.
And when they're dragging people through the mud, it sucks the energy out of the newspapers and stuff to go to any other story. They keep the story plugged on the mud that they're creating. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct. And there's no question that there was a love affair between the Clinton administration and the Obama administration and the mainstream media. It's almost beyond belief. I worked with the press in my professional life and knew most of the national press and was known to them. And in the earlier years, there was respect for people. And while I may have been at odds with a certain newspaper or television station, something like that, there was still cordiality. Uh-huh. And one of the biggest press events of the last century was Westmoreland versus CBS, and I conducted that press operation for General Westmoreland, and I did it pro bono. Uh-huh. And I was his press spokesman through about the 3 years that it endured. And I had the respect of, both he and I had the respect of the National Press Corps. They never did anything vindictive against either of us. But that was then, and that was pre-Clinton. And things changed an awful lot in the course of those ensuing years.
Well, now you're talking about that, Dave, and we're talking about the Clinton machine. How does I just take George Stephanopoulos with ABC. Of course, he was on the Clinton team before then.
Yes.
But once you're on a Clinton team, are you always wearing a Clinton jersey? I mean, that's what I just take George Stephanopoulos for an account. But it seems like the Clinton team, once you're on the team, you don't ever get off. And talking about, you know, your acquaintance David Brock, who once was American Spectator, once he went to the Clinton team, I don't know of anybody that's been on the Clinton team that has abandoned ship and spoke anywhere, or you know, or started to try to deliver any dirt, so-called dirt, to the media. Do you know of any examples of that? Where
I don't, Doc. But the thing that I do know is that there are very, very huge rewards to those people, and that's why they don't. That's why they don't speak out about the Clintons or. You know, they might wind up like I did, and they probably would.
And
Brock is just a weasel. He was when I knew him, and just a little squirt weasel. But he was writing a book about Hillary, mm-hmm. and she was able to play on his weaknesses. She let him come into the White House and interview her, and he related to some of her staff members and all of that.
Was this when he was working with American Spectator or
yeah,
after?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I believe the title of his book was The Real Hillary Clinton. When he came out with the book, those of us who were expecting something different, it was almost a worshipful book about her. And very soon thereafter he renounced his conservative status. He had previously, before he went over to the White House, announced publicly through the Washington Post that he was gay, and I'm sure that was welcomed in the Clinton White House.
I know they celebrated any kind of progressive moves, and
And anyway, he became an enormously wealthy and influential person. I think some of that has worn off, but I wouldn't say it all does.
But I mean, and he wasn't enormously wealthy when he was working the American Spectator. He got that after.
No, he wasn't. He had written a couple of books in which he had had some success with. Uh-huh. He was a Berkeley graduate. I guess a lot of that showed through later on. It didn't show while he was working there until the end. But he certainly turned on everybody that he knew and many of those who had supported him and his work tremendously. Mm-hmm. I took him with me to an event in Florida to meet with some people that I thought would be useful and he might want to write about. And we went to Orlando and had this meeting. Well, he later on reported that the meeting was in Miami.
Okay.
And other lies about the event itself. I had asked Bob Carroll, who was the editor-in-chief and founder of the American Spectator, to assign him to go with me down there, and Bob had done so. But he's dishonest. He's weaselly. He's worked for several conservative organizations, including the Heritage Foundation.
Mm. That was all back in the 90s, I guess, was it? Or...
Yeah, in the 90s. If you'll permit me, Doc, to back way down, even from the 90s, some point here in our conversation, I'd like to have the opportunity to discuss some things with you that will relate to today.
Yeah, well, let's do that. Go ahead, Dave. And I've let Dave go ahead, but we're going to listen to that on next week's show. So don't miss next week's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we'll conclude our conversation with Dave Henderson and keep you up to date on the things you need to know right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.